And I'm so blessed because I do have two wonderful daughter-in-loves, and I do love them, and they love me. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Oh, the power of love. I want to thank Pastor Haley and Teresai and Mafia and the very many people that have worked so hard to make something like this special event possible. Aren't we grateful to all of them? Praise the Lord. And we know it takes a lot of work to make these things happen, months of work. And I just also want to express my gratitude to the Lord to be able to gather it together with all of these women who love Jesus, hallelujah, who want to follow Jesus and follow after the plan that he has for their life. And now Sister Maria's message was rock solid, scriptural, something that we could all grab a hold of, apply to our own lives, and also apply to our own lives in reaching out to others. So beautiful. And as she was describing that pyramid, I thought, you know what, the message we're going to talk about right now is some self-care. Self-care. Let's do some self-care. I truly believe that the primary need of every human being is to know that the one who created them loves them. Every human being. Why? Because God designed you that way. God made you, if you want to say, with a hole inside of you, that the only thing that was big enough to fill the hole inside of you was him. Amen. God truly loves us. Can anybody say out loud to me, God loves me?
God loves me.
Amen. Can you say, God likes me?
God likes me.
That wasn't as enthusiastic as the first one. And I think sometimes we feel like the love that we hear that God has for us is like an obligatory love, like he has to, you know. God is love, so he has to love me even though I'm as whatever I am. But he couldn't really like me or desire me or enjoy me. And if you were able to say very boldly, God loves me this morning, I think it is true truth that all of us can grow in our understanding of how much he loves us. God has a heart that beats for the whole world. He has a big heart. At the core of his nature is love. You know, we sing about him being holy. God is holy. And when we think of holiness, we think of everything he does is right, right? He doesn't do anything bad. He's holy. Well, at the root of his holiness is love. Love is why he's holy. Love is why he's holy. He always does good. He always is love. God always walks in love. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And as we're talking about love this morning, my heart's desire is that you keep saying to yourself, this is for me. Even if you've been in the ministry for 30 years, again, we can all grow in understanding the love that he has for us. I really believe we're going to do that for the rest of our lives on planet Earth during this time period that we have, and we're going to continue to find out about it as we step into eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. Knowing God's love for you. There are some prayers in the Bible that speak of us knowing and pursuing after understanding of God's love. And so the scripture verse, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you. Say strengthen. Because we're going to find out what he's strengthening us with. With power through his spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. We've been talking a lot already in just the first two sessions about the heart. About the heart. And again, the greatest need of your heart is to know that your Creator loves you. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. So now, this prayer that Paul is praying for the Ephesians here, he is praying for people that are already rooted and established in love, that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. So right there in that prayer that Paul has for the Ephesians, we see that we can have some understanding, rooted and established in love. We can have some understanding about the love of God for us, and yet grow in our understanding of his love for us. How wide, how long, how high and deep is his love, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. And I think what we're getting right there is God's love will not make sense to you. You're very aware of you and can easily ask the question, why? Why would the God who created the heavens and the earth and all things, who's perfect in all his ways, holy and righteous, why would he pick me to love? So it's easiest for us to have a hard time grasping, but here the prayer is, help us, Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, to what? To understand the love of God for me. And this should be a prayer for ourselves. If this, if you're unfamiliar with this prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, let it be something that's a regular prayer that you pray for yourself, that you would know his love more and more. And then it finishes off to say, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Excuse me? Filled to the measure of all the fullness of God? How could that be? And here it says, how does that happen in us? It happens when we grasp and we grow in our knowledge of his love for us. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Another prayer that we have in chapter 1 of Philippians, another letter of Paul, in verse 9, it says here, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. So there's something about the capacity that you and I have to love originates out of our understanding that he loves us. We love because he first loved us. You might say, I'm really having a tough time with my love walk. And it might be a specific person, you know, I bet you can all think of that person that life's a struggle with. A difficult time loving that person. Well, we can work hard and try to be nice and try to do all the things we think we should do. But that struggle will be relieved, and you will be supplied with what you need when you meditate on the love that God has for you. Amen. Amen. His love works in us that way. The word says his love is shed abroad in our hearts. Amen. The more we meditate on his love, the more we allow him to love us, the more equipped we are for his love to flow out from us. Amen. And that's the kind of love that we want to walk in and we want to express in our lives. You know, there's another kind of love that's human's love, human love, and human love always has something on the other side of it. I'm going to love you and do this for you, but I'm expecting that you're going to do that back for me, right? But that's not God's love. God's love will do for you, expecting nothing back. And that's what he calls us to be, as love children of a love God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And I didn't finish this one. It says here again in Philippians 1 verse 9, so that you may be able to discern what is best. How did that come? From knowing about God's love. Amen. So that you may be able to discern what is best, and you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You know, anytime we try to do something outside of him, it becomes what we call works. Anytime we try to do something, well, I'm just going to do something good. Well, you might get really busy with doing what you think is good, and God, your Father, had a plan for you today, and he had this assignment for you. And as he had that specific assignment for you, he had the equipment for you to fulfill that assignment. But you were, I'm going to do something good today, and you got busy doing your thing instead of having what you do come out of your love for him, his love in you being expressed out through you. Everything starts in him. Amen. You are called, if you're born again here, you are called a Christian. And the first, C-H-R-I-S-T, the first six letters of your name is Christ. It all begins in him. A lot of times, why would we try to do something good? We might try to do something good because we are feeling less worthy than we should. And so we think, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And in God's eyes, he'll be impressed. Well, understand that he gave his son for you to die for you when we could all say, I was totally unimpressive. Anybody could say that? Totally unimpressed. Impressive. But there was something in me that he desired so much that he would give his son for me. And that's always been his plan. That's always been his plan. I'm going to skip the next verse for those that are running verses. Again, I'll say the greatest message of the Bible, I believe, is that God loves you. That God loves you. There is no more powerful force in your life, in the life of the believer, than the force of love. And it's all going to originate in him. You and I are not going to work up the love, okay? It's in him, understanding that he loves me, allowing him to love me, and through that, his love being expressed out through me. It's, I would say it's the fountain of our lives. every area of our life needs to come out of the relationship that we have with our Lord. Don't try to have an area in your life that he's not a part of. You'll find that if I have an area in my life that I'm not having him be a part of, I'm not allowing him to give me direction, I'm not going to him, help Father in this thing, you see, I'm involving him in my life in that area, if there's any area of my life that I'm not letting him be in that area of my life, you'll find that there are troubles, problems. I don't mean troubles don't come to all of us. As Maria wisely pointed out from Scripture to us today, Jesus let us know troubles will come. But when we don't have Jesus as a part of an area of our life, we are vulnerable in that area of our life. He needs to be at the core of everything. That means the core of our marriages. That means that the core of our pursuits in life, education, occupations. He needs to be at the core of our lives in our parenting. Amen. And certainly he needs to be at the core of you understanding your worth, your value. You're never going to find it anywhere else. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy. Nothing that can satisfy like knowing your Father and knowing that he loves you. Amen. Knowledge of his love causes us to be free from every insecurity. Oh, does that sound good? Can anybody confess they've had an insecurity in an area of life? Or maybe even today you were thinking about what to wear and you were very insecure about how you looked when you're going to come to the conference. But knowing, being settled inside yourself, God loves me. You suddenly like, I really don't care about my outfit because God loves me. Yeah. Praise the Lord. His love satisfies us. It fills us. It completes us in every way. Amen. Love can also transform us. It does transform us. It's not a can. When we experience the love of God, and you can imagine, if you think to yourself, wow, if I could just get rid of all my insecurities, I'd be a really nice person. Where does that happen? That happens in your pursuit of him and your receiving of his love for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His love also can, coming through us, can transform others. I heard this story years ago about a Wycliffe Bible ministry. They were ministering in a village in a remote place, and it had customs at this place that the parents would arrange marriages for their children from when they were young. And this one young man in the village received Jesus as his Savior. And he felt like the right thing to do was to honor his parents by walking through marrying the gal that he had been prearranged to marry. Maybe that doesn't sound so bad, except for now this was a 14-year-old girl. He was some bit older than her. And because of her behavior, it was so bad that the tribe had excommunicated her or sent her out of the village, and she wasn't allowed to live in the village. And that was the girl. I'm sure she was a nice little girl that the young man's parents, you know, chose this girl, or it was probably, you know, because of the families. But he decided to honor his parents. He felt like that's what love would do. That's what he was led to in his heart. And so he married her. And as time went by, he continued, he expressed God's love to her. He cared for her. He nurtured her in spite of whatever behavior she had. And he was faithful in this, loving her like God had loved him. Love, God's love in his heart, transforming him. And you think, how could somebody do that? He did, because of the love of God in his heart. Loved this young lady because of the love of her husband. She received the love of the Lord, and she got born again. And she became so dramatically changed, because God's love transforms us, that the entire village received Jesus because they saw what God's love did with that one young woman. God's love transforms us, but it also can transform other people when we walk in God's love. Praise the Lord. But love will start, God's love will, it's there. God loves you. From before he made planet Earth, he loved you. He knew you were coming. He had plans for you. And his heart was set on you. Yes, again, before Earth even existed, God's love was towards you. But now, for that love to be manifested in my life, I am going to have to receive his love for me. I'm going to have to believe that he loves me, and I'm going to have to believe that he likes me. That he likes me. That he desires, again, I go back to that obligatory love. I think sometimes we think it's like the love that we think we're supposed to have. I know I should love this drunk that's sprawled out in the street right here. And, but, whew, you know, it's tough. But I'm, and I don't, and you might even have a woman in your life that's just a mess of all mess. And she's coarse, and she stinks, and all of these other things. And God says, take her to lunch. And you might even just do it, because you think, God told me to do it, right? And so we think that that's how God looks at us, because we know we can be in a mess, and we can stink sometimes, right? And we think he just loves us because he has to. No, he has chosen to. He's chosen to. He desires you. Hallelujah. How can I know that God loves me? Because the Bible tells you. Amen. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Amen. He loves us. I'm going to quickly go through some verses here, because we just said, why do I know Jesus loves me? Because the Bible tells me so. Jeremiah 31, verse 3 says, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have, that's past tense, I have loved, past tense, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. And Zephaniah 3, verse 17, and Maria referred to this verse this morning. The Lord your God is with you. Hey, that's important for us to remember, that the Lord my God is not my enemy. The Lord my God is not against me. The Lord my God, instead, he is with me and he is for me. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. Hey, that word delight is one of those emotion words like Maria mentioned today. God has emotions, and his emotions are for you. He loves you. He desires you. He delights in you. He enjoys you. Hallelujah. He will quiet you with his love. When I read that, I just picture him wrapping his arms around me, maybe in a time when I'm troubled or stressed, and he comes and he just quiets me with what? His love. And he will rejoice over you with singing. Hey, that's something that I'm looking forward to in heaven. I'm looking forward to hearing the Lord sing. How about you? Right? Sing over me. Hallelujah. John chapter 16, verse 27. The Father himself loves you. And Jesus is speaking here. These would be, if you have a Bible that has red letters, Jesus is saying this. He says, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. That's our gateway through Jesus to be recipients of God's love, working that in our heart. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. John 17, verse 23. And again, we have Jesus here. Here he is praying. He's speaking, but he's praying to the Father. And he says, I in them. He's talking about himself being in us. Jesus in us, and you, Father, in me. It's showing this unity that once we become believers, born again, love children of a love God, we come in unity in a family. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them. Father has loved you even as you have loved me. Father God, anybody getting this? Father God loves you like he loves Jesus. It's in the Bible. It's even in the red letters. Hallelujah. He loves us even as he loves Jesus. It's hard to comprehend, but we're called to believe it. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. I get this picture of it's just poured out upon you so that it saturates every hair on your head down to your toenails. How great is the love the Father God has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Amen. And if we choose to believe what the Bible says about us, which is what God says about us, then we declare with our mouths, I am. You finished it. Awesome. We'll do it all together. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Adversity comes against you, you declare it. I'm loved by God. I am a child of God. He's with me. He's for me. He's working on my behalf. He's leading me. He's guiding me. He is with me. And then from the book of Revelation, we have these words, and again, it's in the red. Jesus is speaking, and he says, I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Wow. Wow. It's not okay for us to question his love or faithfulness to us either. Amen. Remember the story of the disciples in the boat, and they were asleep, and the storm came up, and they said to Jesus, "Wake up! Don't you care that we're perishing?" And Jesus said, "Why don't you have any faith?" What were they questioning? Remember, he said, don't you care? Don't you love us? You're going to let us perish? He loves us. Let us be established in this truth. No matter what's going on in your life, we want to stay on the side of God and stay on the side of what God says about us. Amen. 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 Stay on God's side. Stay on the side of what God says. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. A part of us growing in our knowledge of His love, we have those prayers to pray, but we can feed on His word to us. Amen. The Bible. This might seem like a very basic thing, but the reality is our desire for Him is revealed in a measure by our desire for His word. Because the Bible really is God talking to you, God talking to me. And it can be called different things. It's His redemption plan for man. Hallelujah. The workings of God throughout. It's His revelation of Himself to us. We could even call it God's love letter to you. And if you had a lover that wrote you some great letters, you'd be reading them, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Well, you have the one who loves you beyond heaven and earth, loved you so much that He made a way that you could be unified with Him so that he could spend eternity with you. And we think a lot about, I get to spend eternity with God, and that's awesome. But his heart was, He desired you before the creation of the world. He chose you. So that what? So that you could be His forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we talked about, how do I know God loves me? From the Word of God. Another way we know that God loves me is what we just spoke about, from creation. Remember when God made the things of the earth, and He made the sun and the moon and the stars, and He made the plants and He made the animals, and none of them did He make in His image. He said all of those things were good, but then He created man, male and female. He made them in His image. Wow. Okay, again, we're talking about God. God made you in His image, in His likeness. Now, we know He probably doesn't necessarily have blonde hair or black hair, because we got all kinds of different things there. Sizes of noses, length of legs, all kinds of different things. But at the core of our being, we are spirit. And John chapter 4 lets us know, Jesus says, God is spirit. And we are made in His image. And He made us in a way that not only could we be with Him forever, but so that we could commune with Him. And in the garden, when everything was perfect yet, we don't have a lot of chapters. What was that time like, right? When Adam and Eve were made and they fellowshipped with God in the garden. He came to them and they spoke, they communed, they walked together. Why? Because that's what God desired. Hallelujah. But you know we messed up, right? And we became associated with Adam. And Adam became the father of all of us. and we fell, right? But God redeemed us back. But here at the point of his creation, and his creation of you and I, he said of the other things, well, this is good, and this is good, and then he made you, and he said, whoo, this is very good. Hallelujah. We are the crown of God's creation, and all that has been made is for us. It fits us. Lots of people will try to persuade us that human beings are just a tiny part of this much greater big bang, boom, 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 and we've changed and we've altered, blah, 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 but that none of that is true. No, God had a plan. God had a design. God created you in his image, and he created everything in the earth for you. Hallelujah. The sun and the moon are for you. The sun shines in the morning for you. The reason the planet is spinning is for you. The reason the waves splash on the shore is for you. The reason the flowers bloom is for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Creation has retained some of its beauty and grandeur even through the fall. But God had a plan to redeem you to a perfect spirit, just like he made you originally. Image of God. John chapter 3, verse 16, we all know this. For God so, what? Loved. That's what motivated him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And Roman, again, we're looking at a lot of the word, because it's what the word, what God says about you. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, messy, yucky, stinky, Christ died for me. Christ died for you. And notice there in that verse, it says this was a demonstration of his love for us. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, let me start that again, but because of what? His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ, he seated us with him in the heavenly, those are all past tense. Raised me up, he seated me in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness, in his love to you and me in Jesus Christ. And then 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. This is how God showed his love among us. This is how he showed it. This is how he showed it. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. We should understand this. Again, it starts with him. Is it important for us to love God? Absolutely. But see where it all starts. It all starts because he loved us. He made a way for you to love him. In our sins and transgressions, there was no access to him, to love him. Remember when Jesus died on the cross, it talks about a great veil that was split in two in the temple. You remember that story? Jesus died on the cross, and there was a veil that separated the holy place in the temple where the priests did their work and the Holy of Holies where the presence of God was. And when Jesus died on that cross, that veil, which was some 60 feet high, was ripped from the top. Nobody was on a ladder. This was God. Was ripped from the top to the bottom. And I would guess any priest doing their job that day, they're putting out some bread. They probably ran out of there because they knew we can't access the presence of God because we're not holy. and the fire of God will come upon us. But now Jesus has died for you and me, and the veil has been ripped in two, and God was saying, we don't need this anymore. Because now those that receive my Son as their Savior have access to come right in boldly into my presence, hallelujah, and receive the love that I so desire to consume them with. Hallelujah. Our God is love, and our God loves us. Let's say together, this will be our confession. It's very simple, but it's very powerful. God loves me.
God loves me.
Let's say it again, like close your eyes and think about Him and remind yourself of the truth. Let's say it again. God loves me. Now, still with your eyes closed, let's say, God likes me. I need it more enthusiastic. God likes me. Again.
God likes me.
Let's say, God desires me.
God desires me.
God delights in me.
God delights in me.
And God enjoys me.
And God enjoys me.
Hallelujah, He does. The Bible tells us so. Amen. Now, I'm thinking, is Teresai going to come up and give some announcements? While she's walking up here, your job is to find somebody. You might have to find two because nobody can be left out of this. You need to tell somebody else that God loves you and that God likes you. Go!